Welcome to Cybersecurity Where You Are, the Center for Internet Security's podcast. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO at CIS.
And I'm Tony Sager, Senior Vice President and Chief Evangelist at CIS. Cybersecurity affects us all, whether we're online at home, managing a company, supporting clients, or running a state or local government.
So join us on Wednesdays as we discuss trends and threats, explore security best practices, and interview experts in the industry.
Together, we'll clarify these issues, creating confidence in the connected world.
Hello and welcome to the show, Cybersecurity Where You Are. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO here at the Center for Internet Security. Today we're going through 12 CIS expert cybersecurity predictions for 2025. Now this has become kind of a recurring themed element for the past number of years where we make predictions, looking at cybersecurity, looking ahead. And what we're going to do today, we'll go through each of the experts' thoughts. Now, as you can imagine, as we're going through, there'll be some recurring themes. Now, not to give anything away, but AI is part of the respective theme. I don't know that we can talk necessarily about cybersecurity today without the mention of AI on what we're going to see in 2025. So we'll go through systematically, and this is also a blog post. We'll link that in the notes as well. And we'd love to get your thoughts and opinions. podcast@cisecurity.org, looking at what we've predicted and providing your own thoughts as well. So first of all, we'll jump into the blog post. I'm going to read directly. So this is from Marcy Andino. She's a vice president of the elections infrastructure ISAC. One of the things, again, as part of that theme, is generative AI. And she mentions very specifically about how easy, faster, and economical it is to create higher quality phishing emails. Now, we've seen this really being part of the vernacular the last 6 months, and I can imagine continuing really beyond as part of any cybersecurity operations center, any cyber threat intelligence program, that we're thinking about generative AI. We're thinking about its use internally, but also as well as its attacking threat and what we have to do in order to assess that. So really, we're looking at positives, respectfully, in the use of the technology, but then we also have to think respectfully of how the technology can be used as an attacking strategy. Now, she also includes a term, multidimensional threat, and assessing those threats very, very important, specifically with the elections disruption tactics. She also mentions this integration. So we're looking not just at cyber attack, but the proliferation of both information operations, physical attack, all utilizing an underlying technology infrastructure necessarily to permeate these thoughts and these actions. So multidimensional threat is going to be a new term that we'll see moving in 2025 as part of these respective programs. So let me then go to myself. Now, I had three predictions. We'll go 50-50 on how my predictions necessarily turn out for the respective year. But I've got, obviously I've got a solid one, Mind's AI as well, looking at enabled attack and defense. And similar to Marcy's thoughts here and to others in this space is we're going to see new capability. Looking at agentic capability in the AI space is going to be very, very interesting. The velocity of innovation and the integration of sophisticated attack, really unprecedented. Because not only are we utilizing the AI infrastructure, but we're using AI to inform certain strategies and tactics. So in some cases, it's not just the AI itself, but it's an AI-enabled capability that allows such attack strategies to occur. A couple others just from my perspective. Zero trust. Now, I'm a huge proponent of zero trust. Again, having the pleasure of talking to Mr. Kindervag, who had originated this, I think, back in 2012 at Forrester. But I'm thinking this focus this year, I think one of the enablers in this space, one of the things I'm focused on is identity. Looking at identity as one of the force multipliers that engages organizations to think about the zero trust model, I think it's very important that we look at identity as part of the catalyst this now being the what I call a robust assessment of identity management and driving adoption of certain security models. Now, AI is not for everybody, and AI is, you're never done necessarily. So AI is an implementation strategy with certain models, certain capabilities that we'd want to assess necessarily over time. Now, my final thought here is supply chain risk management. I think there's going to be a huge focus, a huge shift, really where we see the shift left. So that shift left demand from our customer base in terms of organizations representatively having to listen to the thoughts on secure by design, privacy by design, vendor recognition of their due diligence in the space. Huge push, a lot coming from CISA in the space with their respective thoughts on secure by design. And I think thought leadership requires us to build governance assessment models into this process. And it comes from a certain direction. So we've heard of the software bill of materials. I think one of the other important points that we need to assess and address is cryptographic library bill of materials, or crypto BOM. That's going to be very important. And really, you're going to start to see from an organizational perspective, looking at assets, looking at respective technology, there's going to be a lot more bill of materials across many different parenthetics. But for me, I think supply chain risk management, very, very important. Okay, we'll then move on to Mr. Jason Emery, Director of Cybersecurity Advisory Services Program here at CIS. He has some similar thoughts to myself with AI-assisted cybersecurity tooling. So looking at the defensive capability, really trying to focus and help the SLTT community. So state, local, tribal, and territorial government organizations. Necessarily helping in that space to manage securing environments, really providing a perspective as well as assisting managed service providers and managed security service providers as well. So we're seeing that permeate many different layers of respective organizations, both from a product perspective, a service perspective, and then also those that are providing services to us. So very, very important that we assess and understand from an AI governance perspective how AI is being used. Going back to supply chain risk management, there is a permeation necessarily of AI capability through respective organizations. That may be another element of bill of material, at least identifying where AI is within these respective infrastructures. He also represents, which is a very, very important point, I wish I'd got this one myself, but he's looking at a governance focus in K through 12. Now, seeing many small to medium-sized K through 12 struggle necessarily in terms of formalization of cybersecurity, getting enough budget and investment, representatively a governance strategy really helps to focus that at the top-down perspective. So top-down necessarily requiring district superintendents, school boards looking at these requirements and necessarily putting that top-down governance program into play. Now, with any good governance program, what do we need? We need to operationalize that. It's not just good having necessarily a policy and a program on paper. It has to be actualized. And that's necessarily something that we want to see. And so looking at districts, utilizing something as like the NIST cybersecurity framework or the CIS controls, very, very important that they have access and strategically assess what they need to enable and invest in. So a great one there from Jason. And then finally, he has an IT-OT industrial control system convergence. Very interesting because what we've seen in the past is wastewater, power, respectfully utility, where we see that there's not been a lot of investment in the underlying infrastructure, necessarily both its protection and also the aging infrastructure necessarily, that there's certain elements in the space. And he's starting to look at a convergence, looking at IT, looking at the general network for remote management, additional capability in the space, assessing cybersecurity risk. And I think the important function in this space, representatively, and what Jason aligns to is certain conditions where we don't need to have necessarily a separation. It may be an implementation separation, but the idea of vulnerability management, threat detection, and implementation of cybersecurity frameworks across those environments share many respective similarities between IT and OT. Now, the implementation may be different, but it shouldn't stop us from thinking about this convergence and utilizing capabilities in the space that we've learned necessarily from 40 years of IT to where we are today, to then also assess the operational capabilities in that space. Not always one-to-one, very much so, but we need to start thinking about convergence in this space. So I appreciate Jason's thoughts there. And with that, we'll be right back after this quick break.
Most organizations want to streamline their cybersecurity and compliance efforts.
It's just not always easy to do so on your own.
That's where a CIS Secure Suite membership can help.
It provides benefits, tools, and resources designed to help you implement the CIS critical security controls and CIS benchmarks.
Secure Suite can help you strengthen your cyber defenses, comply with common standards, and cybersecurity frameworks, all while saving you time, money, and effort.
Apply for membership today by visiting cisecurity.org.
Start secure and stay secure with CIS Secure Suite.
Thank you, and let's jump back into the episode.
I then move on to Don Freely, VP of IT Services, someone who I work a lot with in the space. We have similar ideas in this area, and we didn't necessarily convey or discuss our elements, but we are working on Zero Trust at CIS, and he's also looking at that. But he's mentioning that this is embraced across multiple dimensions, access, assets, systems, really looking at momentum being driven in the space. So applying the security model necessarily to what currently exists, and ultimately it being contributive to a Zero Trust program. And then looking at how we're treating untrusted access and authorization verification as a continuous element. He's also looking at secure websites and VPNs, multi-factor. If we're not multi-factoring everything, again, it may be a detriment in the space. But as I mentioned, it all starts with identity. And then I think identity proliferates through both process and technology that we can then use to integrate. So some good thoughts there. And Don also has secure by design becomes part of IT's DNA. Very, very important that not only as we move into DevOps, DevSecOps, that we're starting to use secure by design principles as part of IT projects. He's looking at convergences in this space. I'm really starting to think about incorporating security, compliance, and governance very early. The reason to do that is one, security as an afterthought. So we go security by design or security by operationalization, probably too late. You want to integrate that early. Though that early concept perception allows us to move in a really a combined directive. So that creates this matrix structure that we're all reading from the same security playbook. And it's very important that we do. Security is not something that in the vernacular of IT or development it is something that we should miss, right? Security has to be part of what we're discussing on a continuous basis. It's not going away. And, you know, respectfully, we can look at, I'll use a website, CVE details. Look at the volume of vulnerabilities being identified. It is not slowing down. In fact, you know, pretty much doubled from the year previous. So the identification of vulnerability, very, very important. We've got to get necessarily, as I mentioned, from supply chain risk, but also as Don mentions, this is, you know, secure by design principles inherent in our processes. Very, very important. I'll then move to Stephen Jensen, Senior Director of Plans, Programs, and Exercises, part of our MS ISAC and EI ISAC program. He's looking respectfully at the thoughts in IoT and how that's revolutionized data collection, day-to-day activity, both as consumers, employees, and how this intersection of this wireless device necessarily creates new avenue for attack. Now, we've seen those types of attacks occur what he's looking at is new improved network protocol. Just because potentially it's new and improved doesn't necessarily mean that there are vulnerabilities that are not inherent. We cannot just relax and say we've implemented a security process for a certain device, its connectivity with network segmentation, respectfully. Perfectly fine, but we've got to continually patch and update these systems. These are not set it and forget it type of devices. They need care and curation. So great thoughts there from Stephen. I'll then move on to Angelo Marcotullio, our CIO. He's looking at training and adhering to basic cybersecurity practices. So I work with Angelo pretty much on a daily basis, and he's looking at the capabilities in cyber attack. He's seeing the advancement. It's things that we discuss in terms of what we want to bring to in terms of both training and awareness for our organization. And I do consider those two elements different. Training can be done necessarily on a click-through basis. Doesn't necessarily mean you understand. That's where I like to bring awareness into the case as part of this process, because as Angelo mentions, one, it's helping safeguard reputation, financial stability, customer trust. But it's also a culture that needs to be integrated, and a culture of click-through training is not going to be something that you can really build a compliance governance program against. You're not going to build security, and security and compliance are different elements, right? We've talked about this before, but they are completely different. So I see training more of a compliance capability. You've got all the checks. Okay, good. You're compliant. Everybody's taken the training, but does everybody understand? That's your security awareness program coming in to build that culture, bring that awareness. Really, the way Angelo looks at it is minimizing the likelihood of successful attack. We want to use empowered personnel, one, to understand what attack vectors look like, but also understand their responsibility in protecting an organization. So some great thoughts there from Angelo. I'll then move on to Lee Myers, Senior Director of Security Operations. He's looking at consolidation from an operations perspective, looking at cybersecurity funding, looking at technology advancement, looking at cyber defense capability and how the attack system is evolving, right? So our ecosystem of attack and defend, necessarily it's the cat and mouse game in a lot of cases. And we're going to start to move away, and I'll use this in the space, just based on Lee's thoughts here. We're moving away from this consideration that the attackers have to be right once, we have to be right all of the time. I think that plays down the effort that it takes from an attacker's perspective. Yes, they have to be right once, but getting to that right once is takes time, talent, resources, and patience. We have to understand that. We have to look at our ecosystem in order to look at the effort, the necessary resources put into that as, is it worthwhile? Is it something that I want to invest my time into terms of compromising a respective organization? We've got to look at necessarily from a technology footprint, one, how can we use it more effectively? Now, there are going to be statistics that you're going to see from sales, conferences, and things that you'll have respective security infrastructure, but you're only using 10% of it, right? You're not using it to its maximum effective capability. That's where we have to then start looking at, well, do we need consultants to help us build a capability in the space and get the greatest return on investment in what we've invested in? We can do that. We can now start to leverage those technologies, look at the data that we're collecting, and use it judiciously. You know, it becomes an element where we're looking at consolidation of operations to look at the consolidation of our data. And what do we need in order to effectively identify, potentially through threat hunting, alerting, etc., in order to create an effective program? What is that delineator? And it changes. It's not the same for every organization. Right, so we have to be necessarily part of that process in order, as we instantiate new technology within our organization, or we start to build and utilize complementary capability and functionality, that we can consume and use it in a way that's effective. And he mentions that it will lead to an increased efficiency and impact from the tools that remain, with resources being reprioritized for use and value. So looking at reprioritizing what tools that we have, where can we get the maximum benefit? Where's the biggest bang for our buck today? Once we've, you know, got the bang for that respective buck, where's the next type of prioritization? Really helps you address, and in some cases that changes with the threat landscape. Your attack ecosystem may change and you're reacting and responding to that. So what may have been a priority in Q1, Q2 may have completely changed. And so you're able to utilize both a threat model and information in order to make judicious decisions continuously throughout the year. We'll then move on to Lee Noriega, our Executive Director of Cybersecurity Services, and is currently the Acting General Manager of Sales and Business Services. So he's looking at AI as well. He's looking at cyber criminals. He's looking at AI-generated phishing and also AI contributing to the evolution of ransomware, both speed, precision of attack, and making these elements more difficult to defend. He's also looking at social media and generative AI, looking at sophisticated scam and also impersonation, looking at how we speak, how we write, what we post, and utilizing that as a model necessarily to create impersonation or brand new personalities necessarily through an AI lens. Also necessarily, he's addressing AI tools being more integrated into business operations. It's a fact, right? If it's not AI enabled today, it kind of feels like it's falling behind. And so what we're seeing is a proliferation of infrastructure, tools, services, all have AI capability. But that introduces risk in some cases. You know, where is that AI coming from? Is that integrated internally? Is that something you've contracted out and as part of an add-on? We've got to keep up. We can't do it ourselves. We don't necessarily have the expertise. Let's use a third party. Gets into my supply chain risk management element as well. So great thoughts there from Lee. And we move to a regular of the show, Mr. Randy Rose, our VP of Security Operations and Intelligence. He's got a few thoughts here. Now, I had one where I saw last year, which was, you know, one of my 50% hits. But I do respect the thought here of quantum. He's looking at quantum in terms of it moving outside of research. We've seen some very, very interesting developments from Google with their Willow hardware infrastructure and capability. So I'm right on track with him here. And it's also where we have to address post-quantum resistant capability in quantum cryptography. So this is post-quantum. We want to be prepared for that. And we're starting to see organizations, even government, providing thoughts in the space where we want to be proactive and not reactive, to Randy's point. He's also mentioning, similar to Stephen, the evolution of IoT and edge computing, looking at this fog of edge computing and placing data processing closer necessarily to the data source. So there's an increased really attack landscape that we're going to start to see as we move forward. As we implement new technologies in the space of infrastructure, prime for attack. So it's up to us, again, secure by design, that was mentioned by Don, as part of the infrastructure where we're looking at both hardware and software capability, those being integrated. I'm really starting to look at homes, smart appliances, HVAC, solar, and other power systems. This is what Randy's mentioning as this attack surface continuing to grow. So looking for respectfully tools in the space, frameworks and best practices. He then has a second, actually a third point, apologies, focusing on socio-political impacts of emerging technology. Now, he goes and defines just versus saying AI. He goes and defines generative AI, large language models, as part of a program. So he mentions we're leaving this honeymoon phase and beginning to shift focus on what's learned from the past 2 years, looking at social, political, and technical impact. Going to be a very, very interesting multi-dimensional threat landscape that we're need to going to assess continuously. It's going to change, I believe, the way we adapt and understand our threat models and start to integrate new potential avenues of attack surface management. And so he mentions that without proper oversight, risks deepen the digital divide, supercharging disinformation and information operation campaigns, and amplifying global concerns around human rights. So very important there from Randy. I'll then mention Mr. Marcus Sachs, our Senior Vice President and Chief Engineer. He also identifies AI. As I mentioned, you can start to see AI. It's a common element in the space. He mentions AI as an arms race, redefining how attackers and defenders tackle cybersecurity. So really thinking from his perspective on the kind of this 20,000 foot view of what AI permeates respectfully to the organizations, but he also then brings it down to adaptive malware, avoiding traditional detection methodology, and then looking at AI powered adversaries, looking at adaptive algorithms to change and carry out attack strategies in real time. So these elements permeate both the velocity as well as the impact, respectfully, of AI. He's also looking at compliance and regulations, looking at AI systems becoming more common, ultimately looking at security, data privacy, manipulation of AI models, misuse of AI-generated content is continuing to grow. Now, his program of cyber-informed engineering, very, very important. There's going to be a link in the notes as well as in the blog post. I recommend you go and review the work that he's doing. It is cutting edge, really, really excellent in terms of looking at essentially embedding resilience into critical systems. So a lot of thought leadership coming from Marcus in the space. And he also goes on to mention cloud security and looking at, similar to Randy, where we're looking at cloud security, data location. He also represents something that, again, myself should have brought up, but is new laws. These are constantly changing with privacy, security, data sovereignty, and things of that nature, looking at national border control and how data is managed representatively from a physical aspect when in itself it is intangible. So he's looking then about storage mechanisms, regionality, data sovereignty as mentioned, and looking at business reacting to that, looking at their requirement, and necessarily through supply chain risk and third-party control, how that could be necessarily integrated. So he's also mentioning multi-cloud strategies. Very, very important. This is something I mentioned last year as well, and we've started to see this really come to fruition. It's not just a single independent, dependent cloud that we're utilizing. It's multiple. In a lot of cases, we're starting to see that as part of the vernacular, as well as the operational capability of certain organizations. He also goes on to mention zero trust. He's looking at really a fundamental approach where we're looking at default for security, necessarily in hybrid and remote workforce, is looking at how we can adapt zero trust, because it really starts to fit those types of use cases. Now, we have seen certain organizations, federal, government, and private, looking at bringing workers back into the office. That's fine, but a lot are still working necessarily remote or in a hybrid phase. And we've got to be aware of those strategies of both providing access, but also security control. Zero trust falls nicely into an assessment of strategies that we can put in play. Now, it falls nicely. Does it necessarily land nicely? Again, that's up to the implementer. But he's looking at investments in identity and access management, endpoint security, continuous monitoring, really changing how we think about internal, external access, and representatively saying, well, none of it's trusted. No matter if you're internal or external, this is all part of the control. Now, TJ Sayers, our Director of Intelligence and Incident Response, has some thoughts in terms of cyber criminal markets. Again, a thought leader in this space. So he's looking at phishing as a service model, looking at AI-driven tools, really escalating past the fact that we've seen the typo and the misconstructed email. those days are kind of gone. Those are, you know, going to kind of be like the Nigerian prince type emails used as reference, but not really cutting edge. So he's moving into a space where he's looking at how we're going to protect ourselves from text-based phishes, advanced voice and video deepfakes. Again, we're getting to where we don't know what's real and what's generated. The technology is advancing that fast. He also references that his predictions from last year with ransomware and associated extortion-based threats going to remain. He predicted it last year. It came true. He's kind of doubling down on that for 2025. And then finally, Valicia Stichetti, a senior cybersecurity engineer with our CIS Critical Security Controls team. She's looking at AI. She's looking at it from different vectors. One, she's looking at embedded in software, looking at how it's exploded, how we started to see the utility of AI being generated and used as part of software, application, a production forcing, or a catalyst necessarily. And then also where it can and cannot be turned off. Very, very important that we've also now started to address where AI is integrated by default. In some cases, unaware to the consumer in this space, which doesn't necessarily raise an element of being referenced necessarily as part of a model of security and not transparent in that space. We have got to be careful what we implement and utilize, because necessarily, how is the AI model built? Is it utilizing information that it's gathering from our infrastructure in order to build upon itself, right? This continuous learning element of these AI models. She also thinks about AI-based threats and thinking about how these are continuing to grow, how they're impacting both personal and professional lives, and really also referencing the Verizon Data Breach Investigation Report, with human elements still responsible for 68% of data breaches. So this is fluctuating. Again, it's remaining high in the space. And I think with an AI-enabled capability that we're going to see the human element be targeted, right? We want to think before we click, and we want to bring that as part of training. Nay, nay. Remember, we go back to what Angelo had mentioned. This is awareness as part of this program as well. Now, she's also looking at AI for the betterment, necessarily, of the organization. It's not all doom and gloom. Just AI is mentioned. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily something bad. Cybersecurity, we've got to use it. It's something that's going to be a force function for us in order to integrate, be aware, and continuously utilize necessarily as part of our continuous program of improvement. It's there to help, one, from a data perspective, two, from an identification, detection, and even protection perspective as well. So with that, that really brings us to the end of the 12 experts. Again, some great thoughts in this space. I recommend you read the blog post. Again, love to get your thoughts on what predictions that you have for 2025. podcast@cisecurity.org. So we'll conclude there for today. So remember to subscribe in all the usual ways. New content every Wednesday. And with that, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today.
The thoughts and opinions expressed by our podcast guests are solely theirs and do not necessarily reflect those of CIS.
Tune in on Wednesdays for a new episode. And in the meantime, visit our website at cisecurity.org.
Together, we'll continue our efforts of creating confidence in the connected world.